And a very happy Monday to you. Welcome in to this October 9th edition of The Lowdown. I am Damian Barling, joined by Jason Ross. Well, it's Monday, so you know that's football. We'll do overreactions, things we got right, things we got wrong. There was a little bit of basketball last night. It was an interesting weekend.
Yeah.
We literally had it all.
Everything.
Broken bones, cocaine, strippers, publicity stunts, basketball.
Baseball playoffs. College football. NFL. Yeah.
We had a monsoon in a college football game. That was awesome. Hockey's back.
Yeah.
Can't wait to talk hockey. We're going to do that for a
couple hours.
I think that was it. I think
right,
it was the extent.
Done.
It's game one of 467.
Yep.
Checkmate on the hockey season. Just quite an interesting weekend.
Did you say cocaine?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I just want to make sure I thought you did.
Just so you know, though, the cocaine and the strippers, it's the same story. They're all tied together. Yeah. So if a stripper ever texts you and says, hey, send me a video of you doing cocaine, I'm going to suggest you don't. Don't send the video.
What's the proper thing to do if you get that text?
Player. No, you know what? I just snorted my last line. Sorry.
New phone, who dis?
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah.
How in love with a stripper do you have to be for you to just openly send a video of you doing illicit? Like, at no point did you think, man, this could be a really bad idea.
Oh, it won't get out.
Oh, of course
not.
There's
no chance this will ever get out.
Of course not. And here I am. Hey, look at me. Yeah. I'm at the Dolphins practice facility.
Yeah.
You can't even go Laramie Tunsil and say, well, it's not like you said your name.
Right.
Like, there's a freaking Dolphins logo behind you, and you're...
It was very good camera work. It was very obvious it was him.
Yeah, I don't know that was the best camera work, but the fact that...
It was clear. Yeah,
there's just so much happened this weekend. That video is the most exciting thing to happen to Dolphins fans all year.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler continues to dress up as a quarterback every Sunday and go out on the football field, despite the fact he's still very clearly retired.
He's out there.
He's out there.
Getting wins.
He got a win.
Yeah.
Which is, It was Matt Cassel versus Jay Cutler this weekend.
That was not the AFC Championship preview?
If it is, the AFC.
We need to stop watching.
Yes. Boycott the NFL. Hashtag boycott the NFL. There's some interesting stats regarding that particular game that we just mentioned that we can throw your way at some point. Oh, we'll throw them to you now. Cassel and Cutler went a combined 17 of 28 for 75 yards and no touchdowns, two turnovers in the first half.
Someone had to win.
Jay Cutler ended the game with 92 yards.
Yep, his team's 500.
It was their home opener yesterday. They were chanting, we want more. I assume they meant Matt Moore. Maybe that meant more Cutler. Maybe it meant more Coke. Who knows at this point? The way that things are going in Philly or the things going in Miami, who knows? So, yeah, there's so much happening. You want to jump in. You don't have to text us about cocaine and strippers and illicit videos. That's totally optional. But you could jump in on the conversations here as we're about to get going. 44-1140, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. On the phone lines, in all seriousness, with all that nonsense aside, we lost Odell Beckham Jr. this week. We lost J.J. Watt last night for the entire season for both of them. And the Giants couldn't have possibly have had a worse Sunday than they did, but we'll talk about them. The 49ers remain winless. Oh, we'll talk about Ben Roethlisberger also. I'm tired of Ben Roethlisberger getting passes. Like his comments yesterday, you know, there's a million ways you could take what he said yesterday about not having it anymore. We'll play the clip for you later. You could say he was being sarcastic. You could say it was said out of frustration. But when you tie that to his, oh, I'm thinking of retiring. Oh, I might be going year to year. When you put all that stuff together, I think people need to start calling out Ben Roethlisberger for the same reason that he called out Antonio Brown last week, because this is distracting. Like, is Antonio Brown going to go on his weekly radio show that he probably doesn't have and call out Ben Roethlisberger in the same fashion that Ben Roethlisberger called out Antonio Brown for throwing a Gatorade
right
tub
a tantrum.
Or whatever?
He called it a tantrum. Right, his words.
Is this not just a different type of tantrum that Ben Roethlisberger threw yesterday, along with his five interceptions?
He threw a lot of those.
By the way, Jacksonville's good.
Mm-hmm.
Jacksonville's.
This week?
No, I think they are.
Okay.
I mean, okay, sorry. Because Blake Bortles still sucks.
Right.
That's a scientific fact.
Yeah.
Their defense is spectacular. Yeah. Their defense is really, really good. We'll talk about all of that, but we will lead. Kings won last night. The Kings lost last night to the Lakers, 75-69. Talk about that game was that first half.
That was hard to watch.
Oh, my goodness, that was bad.
It's like Kings fans have been complaining, you know, these games aren't on TV. Well, you got one on TV.
You're welcome.
You wanted to see that?
You're welcome, world.
That was a tough watch.
I texted Doris Burke last night, hey, how'd you enjoy that one, huh?
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
On behalf of the city of Sacramento, we give you that. Would they have like 20-something points in the first half?
29, 11 in the first, and they shot just terribly all night.
So bad.
Yeah,
and then they
basketball.
Play tonight because why
and
not?
Thursday and Friday. Let's get a bunch of games in all of a sudden. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Is this the last Golden One preseason game?
Yes, last home game, and then two on the road later in the week, and that's it. A week from Wednesday, it starts.
Yikes. Wow.
They look ready.
Oh, yeah, for
not
sure.
Last night.
That first half, man, they're ready to
Woo!
Go. They are ready to go. So we'll dig into that game a little bit. The Raiders, in just a horrible day for Raider fans and for me, the Ravens just pushed them around for 60 minutes. Not surprisingly, Derek Carr might play this week now. I'm not terribly surprised by that. I know the marker was 2 to 6 weeks, but if you look at the history of this transverse process fracture that Derek Carr has. Tony Romo missed one game. I think Cam missed one. He might have missed two after his car accident. So if Derek Carr does come back this week, he was back lightly practicing.
Yeah.
I think on Wednesday or whatever it was. But it just a bad day for the Raiders all around. When it started out promising, at least when you look at the offensive line, when you look at the run game, when you look at what Jalen Richard was able to do early, what Marshawn Lynch was able to do early, thought, okay, maybe this offensive line is kind of reestablishing itself. Allow me to reintroduce myself. But when you fall behind 14 and was it like not even 4 minutes,
yeah.
I think they were behind 14 points. You know, Jack Del Rio probably had to adjust his game plan a little bit.
Chasing the game. They ended up chasing it. And, you know, again, Baltimore deserves credit for the way they played. But I don't feel like yesterday was as simple as if Carr's playing, the Raiders win.
Right.
It didn't feel that way to me. I don't know if it felt that way to you. I mean, obviously, he's important to everything they do. You want him back, and hopefully he will be back this week. But I don't put it on E.J. Manuel, per se. At moments, I felt like they were playing winning enough defense, but then at moments, they weren't. Corners had some troubles. The offense didn't totally move and wasn't fluid. I'm not at the end, you know, it's panic time, totally end of the world, but obviously three consecutive losses. They're in the middle now. This week will be the middle of three straight at home. Got to get right, and they got to get right quick because, you know, you're getting farther and farther behind, obviously, in the division, and that may even be something you can't catch, but you still play Kansas City twice. It's just, I don't know. I had better outlook of where this team could be, at least even at this point, even with Carr's injury.
Thing that it's worth noting, Amari Cooper might as well have.
What's happening?
He might as well have not have been there.
I mean, what's going on?
I don't know.
I gave him the benefit of the doubt of the 1 week. All right, you're playing Denver. I get it. That is a spectacular defense. You're going against good corners. I don't have an answer for yesterday. And it was the number of targets now. Now there's not
two.
Yeah, now we're not looking at a ton of drops. I mean, Cook had some drops. Other guys had some drops.
Well, Cook's drop was actually a catch that became a fumble.
Fumble, yes.
And that led to the 7 points.
Yeah. Just so there's, you know, and it's not even like he's a decoy. It's just I didn't think Manuel looked at him much. Maybe sometimes Carr looks at him too much. I don't know what's going on there. I really don't. I don't have an answer for that one.
Welcome back, Crabtree, though.
That was good.
It looked like a bright side. Okay, all right, Crabtree's back now. The spreading of the field isn't there. The dispersion of the ball isn't there. It's again, you mentioned chasing the game, and the offense just never got flowing. As I said, you know, you saw something from Jalen Richard early. You saw something from Marshawn Lynch just really, really early in the game, and then it just completely disappeared. And they tried to really work Jalen Richard into the game plan yesterday. They just couldn't get things going, falling behind by 14 points. Mm-hmm. And even when they scored, I think they were behind. They might have been behind just one score at one point. If not, it was like 10. You never felt like, okay, they're moving here. They got things going. It never felt like that.
No, and I just looked it up because I was curious. It felt like they didn't have the ball. And I felt like the time of possession was even greater a disparity, but it really was. It was 33 minutes to 26, but Raiders were on the lesser end of it. It just, you're down 14, and I think the next time the Raiders scored, they got a field goal. Like, that needed to be a touchdown to get back into the game. And then you give up another score. And again, just chasing it and chasing it. And they got back in within 7 after the Lynch touchdown in the third quarter. I felt like that was kind of their window. But it just, I don't know. Other thing we could say is this. Remember last year with their record and as well as they played, we said like the 50-50 games, the Raiders got all of them. The big plays, all the questionable things. They seem to get all of them. Right now, they're not getting them. And I don't know what the true team is. I feel like they're better than an 8-8 team. But they're not getting maybe the breaks that they got last season.
But that yesterday didn't feel like a 50-50.
No, not yesterday.
It felt like Baltimore.
It felt like
was
a game they were going to win. But going in, even without Carr.
Yeah, right. But once the game got started,
they weren't the better team.
Feel like a 50-50
no.
game. The 50-50 games I'm taking, you mean like New Orleans last year?
Yeah.
Or, you know, those different
and
games.
And they lost one with Atlanta, but other, like, they always seem to get the benefit of the doubt more times than not.
And, yeah, I didn't feel that yesterday. Felt that going in, like, I thought for sure, the Raiders are winning this game.
Yeah.
They're good enough
to
beat the Baltimore Ravens, and the Ravens aren't good enough to beat them. But Mike Wallace,
where's he been?
Yeah, apparently he was waiting for Oakland, though.
Yeah.
Because three
catches,
133 yards.
He
had, 54 yards was his longest. So he had a pretty, he was effective.
Yep.
He was effective. He was targeted 3 times. He caught 3 balls, and you just heard the yardage right there.
Yeah, it just everything offensively, as much as I was praising Todd Downing the first 2 weeks, I thought they were calling all the right plays. Look at the versatility. They're going to score on everybody. They can beat you so many different ways. Now it looks like it's hard. It looks like it's difficult. When they run, you're like, I probably should have passed. When they pass, you're like, I think I would have called a run. It's just everything seems off. And the one thing I will say that was good, I agree with you, Damien. I thought the line was better. That was encouraging. But that needs to not just be better. That needs to be a strength. That needs to be a thing where, hey, they won the game because the line was so good. Protected whatever quarterback it is. They ran effectively. Gave the quarterback time. Receivers caught the passes. And the offense was a machine. That has not been the case.
I think EJ was clean. I mean, so we can't, if you're protecting him, you know, if he comes out of the game clean, you got to feel good about that. Mm-hmm. I feel like with them and both the Cowboys also, one of the things that made them so great is it's just not great this year. And you noted it. It's that offensive mm-hmm. line. It has to be a clear, when you're weighing, whose special teams are better, or whose quarterback's better, whose running game is better, whose offensive line is better, it needs to be clearly the Raiders' offensive line is better. And not only better than, you know, Team B's offensive line, but better than Team B's defensive line. And I don't know how many times through 5 games this year you're able to definitively say by the time that it's over, the Raiders' offensive line is much better.
Right.
I don't know. It was just a bad outing by the Oakland Raiders yesterday.
Which you
all
have,
the way around.
Yeah, there's going to be games in the NFL where you go in thinking you're going to win and you don't. Others where you think you might be in trouble and you win. And sometimes they're harder to explain, but yesterday the Ravens were better. I mean, they were just flat out better than the Raiders. The Raiders didn't execute enough, didn't have the ball long enough, got behind, and then chasing the game, they couldn't do it. And it got close, but who cares if it's close? They got close within 7 and had their opportunities. But I even thought, I want to say a little bit over 5 minutes left, maybe 6 minutes left, and here's Jack Del Rio, who's aggressive, 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 and they had a 4th-and-2-ish near midfield.
Mm-hmm.
They punted. And
yep.
I went, nope.
Yep.
I don't know that you're going to get the ball twice. I mean, you need to score twice. That's the time to go for it. And just even that, everything wasn't on. Decision-making, execution, and the way they played.
That young secondary struggling also.
They are.
they're getting
exposed.
Yeah, they're you know, when Mike Wallace can reemerge right. out of wherever
and Joe
the
Flacco
hell.
Too. He hasn't been good.
Yeah, he wasn't great yesterday,
but
though.
Better.
Yeah, but he didn't have to be. That I think that was the biggest problem.
That's probably
is
alarming.
You put the Ravens in a position where they really didn't have to be good.
Right.
They just had to do enough because before, you know, again, 4 minutes into the game, you're down 14-0.
Yeah. You're right. Like, if they beat you and you went, well, Flacco was exceptional, he found his groove, all right, kind of give them credit. But instead, it was more about the Raiders not being very good.
Couple of texts here. Oh, some of these aren't very nice. We're going to skip some of these. Stop downplaying and overreact. The tanking New York Jets have a better record than us. All caps, worst team of all time. That's a little smidge bit on the overreaction Monday tip. But I think that's what he's calling for.
Yeah.
Here's a text right here, Jay Ross. If the Raiders need strong lines, I hear Miami recently let someone go with strong video resume.
Nice. I'm disappointed our text hasn't come in yet.
Which one?
The fire Reggie McKenzie text?
No, there's no fire. Oh, no, not
that
yet.
That even was coming in when they were 2-0.
But now that you're giving him attention, that text coming. Is there's right. this one. Talk about your boy, Jerry Jones. Love the team, hate the owner and coaches. No, I don't want to talk about Jerry Jones. We'll talk about Donald Penn, though. That was uncomfortable. It was bad. He acknowledged it. I think last night he may have done it again today on social media. What's funny is I retweeted a tweet from Donald Penn a minute ago. He retweeted a picture of him and the fan who was trying to call him, you know, confront him. And first I'm looking at this like, dude, it's very much what Donald Penn said it was. He was goading him into doing something to where he could sue and whatever. That little dude would have gotten his ass handed to
him. Of
course. And I hate these phony, tough fans. Like, you know.
But he was like, took the hat off. He was ready.
Oh, stop.
He was like, let's go.
I would be willing to bet you Chris Verlade's salary that he said right before that car pulled up, hey, get the camera going.
Yeah.
Hey, turn on your phone. Watch this.
Yeah.
He starts goating him. I hate people like that, man. Yeah. Y'all are. If you guys talk about Donald Penn, just realize that guy isn't a Raider fan. He makes us real Raider fans embarrassed. That's here from the text line at 44-1140. That's just embarrassing fans, period. Like, yeah. don't be that. Don't be the guy who buddies up. It's like the tough guy who talks on Twitter. Like, no cameras. No, if you had been anywhere else but the stadium, you wouldn't have called out Donald Penn like that.
Right.
If you had been at the club, you wouldn't have called it. If you had been anywhere but where your boys had their phones rolling and you had an audience, you wouldn't have done that. You would have asked for a picture just like you did in the post that he put up today.
Mm-hmm.
But that gets magnified as, you know, because I think most national media looked at that and thought, oh, this is how bad things are going for the radio. Look how mad Donald Penn is. Because no one took that to be anything serious. But it all goes into, man, the Raiders have lost three in a row, and now one of their star players. You could see how furious he is. They got Derek Carr, who's out. They got a young secondary that can't get themselves together. You got an offensive line that isn't as great as it was last year. Marshawn Lynch had a really good week one, and it's kind of just tailed off since then. They can't quite figure out what to do with him. They were chasing a bad – I still believe they are a bad Baltimore Ravens team, and here we are, you know, 5 weeks into the season, you got the Dallas Cowboys and the Oakland Raiders sitting at 2-3.
Yeah, and we still think they're good teams, and I think they still both have shots at the playoffs. This is such a week-to-week. We always say it's a week-to-week reaction. Right now, they're on three straight weeks of losses. It can get fixed. It can get fixed fast, but it also, you have to be alerted to the fact, if you're the Raiders, that things are going poorly, and where's the fix? I mean, it's easy to say, just beat the Chargers this week and you're fine. All right, you're 3-3. But what if you don't? Then you're 2-4. That's four straight losses. That's another home loss. These things that are not going right now are going to be attacked by the Chargers and the Chiefs and the teams that you have left on your schedule. They are going to go after these weaknesses and try to beat you.
The best thing that might have happened for Raiders and Raider Nation was Chargers won this week.
That probably is good.
Yeah, because I'm not saying they're fine, they're relaxed, that they're going to chill now. But I think there is a certain, like, the Chargers aren't an 0-6 team, right? They're not, obviously, they're not even an 0-5 team at this point. They're not Cleveland. They're not San Francisco.
Yeah, they're a joke.
Them and the New York Giants, and, you know, we'll get into the Giants and what they're dealing with and where the blame goes there. those two teams aren't, they're just not this bad. I mean, maybe they are, but I can't figure. I tweeted yesterday when they went up. All right, Charger fans, turn it off because you don't want to. We've all seen this movie.
Yep, many
times. We know exactly how it ends, similar to the way Cowboy fans felt watching the end of that game. We've all seen how this movie plays out.
Yeah.
Turn away. I took my own advice and walked away when Dak scored. I'm good. Yeah. I know how a minute 10. I know a minute 10 and a timeout. Okay, good. I know how this ends.
Yeah.
I'll holler at you. I'm going to go take the dogs out, eat dinner. I'll wait for the alert to pop up on my phone. Shocker. There it is. I was significantly more surprised at the fact the Chargers held on to win than that the Cowboys lost. But you've seen those movies play out before. The Chargers, I can't figure out why they've been so bad. By the way, you were talking about, hey, just go out and beat the Chargers if you're the Raiders this week. Talk about teams in front of Chiefs. Look, are we going to start taking the Chiefs offense a little bit more seriously now? Are you, Jason, Herbert, Walker, Ross, ready to acknowledge Alex Smith as a deep threat quarterback? 300 plus yards again. MVP candidate.
Yeah, oh, I would think he's the leader right now for sure.
We'll do a lot of that fun stuff over reactions there in the final hour. Sunday Night Football here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Who do the 3-1 Broncos play?
The winless Giants?
Okie dokie. In Denver.
Yeah.
So if you're Raider Nation and you're hoping for some help, this isn't the best week to hope for some help.
Yeah.
It's really not. There's a lot of more NFL to get into. San Francisco 49ers remain winless. Big Ben is throwing his own sort of tantrums. Jacksonville's defense, I think, is legit. We mentioned the Chiefs. Deshaun Watson, are you kidding me? Second week in a row. We'll talk about all of that as we continue here with the Lowdown on Sports 1140. Your man crush. Get your boy. Leonard Fournette, 90 yards there. That iced, the game was already over there.
Ben
at that
iced
point.
It.
Yeah, yes. Ben iced it, and Ben's mad about it. 181 yards, two touchdowns for the rookie Leonard Fournette. He's fun to watch.
He is. Powerful.
Scored a touchdown in every game this season so far, by the way.
Yeah.
We'll get to the winless 49ers here in just a minute, but since we are on the topic of Jacksonville and Pittsburgh, how about Ben Roethlisberger and his comments after a rather frustrating day for him? Maybe I don't have it anymore. Maybe I'm just throwing a big temper tantrum. I thought it was nonsense. You hear players, and I take this far more seriously when you hear it from players than when you hear it from just a regular analyst.
Yeah.
But you hear this from former players say things like, you know, once you start talking about retirement or thinking about retirement, particularly in the NFL, you're already retired. And I thought what he did last offseason was I thought it was a contract ploy. But he's trying to get his contract renegotiated, get locked in for a couple of more years, get some guaranteed money to match what what guys like Stafford, what Andrew Luck had just signed, you know, what some of these guys are getting. And now I genuinely don't know if this dude wants to. He's not on Cutler's level,
right,
where Cutler is just playing a football player every Sunday. He's just dressed up as a quarterback. When they win and lose, I look at Ben Roethlisberger and think, I mean, Steeler fans, do you look at your quarterback and go, like, does he care? Like, is he even invested in this process, if you will?
I've never thought of him of not caring, but this last couple of months is interesting. And even those statements, I mean, I think he's being sarcastic, but why? What's going on there?
When I read the words, I thought he's probably just being a tool to a reporter. Mm-hmm. Then I heard it, and it's like, okay, you can pretty much take that either direction you
Absolutely.
Want to. Like, I don't know that he legitimately believes that he doesn't have it, quote, anymore. But he has to know, or maybe he doesn't. The second you drop that line, you're now doing the equivalent, at least in my eyes, of what Antonio Brown did. You're throwing the proverbial Gatorade bin around. Like, you're throwing your own version of a temper tantrum. And it's frustrating that guys don't call him out for that.
Yeah, and if he's remotely serious in any part of that, then he shouldn't be playing.
Absolutely.
That's an all-in thing. It's difficult to block every play, to run a route every play, to catch a pass, to run, to tackle, all those things, to throw a pass. It's all not as easy as, you know, it's not easy, but you got to all be in. And that's such a brutal, as we each week, and we have major, major injuries that we're obviously have already mentioned, but you guys, you have to be all in.
And it's not fair to Le'Veon Bell. It's not fair to Antonio Brown. It's not fair to James Harrison. It's not fair to anybody on that roster. It's not fair to Mike Tomlin. It's not fair to that ownership group. If you don't want to play, if you don't think you have it anymore, don't play. Now, again, neither one of us believe that he doesn't think he can play anymore. But the fact is, my issue isn't necessarily the meaning of what he said, because we do believe he was probably being snarky with the reporter. My issue is that he is creating a distraction, the exact same level of what he chastised Antonio Brown for. Mm-hmm. He said, I wish Antonio Brown had come up to me. I wish he had done it this way. I wish he had done it this way. Meanwhile, I'm going to go on my weekly television show here in Pittsburgh, and I'm going to trash my number one wide receiver for not doing it this way. And then next week, when I throw 5 interceptions and 0 touchdowns and we lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'm going to create a very similar distraction. Like, that's my issue with them. We don't spend enough time calling out. We focus. Antonio Brown does this. Well, we already know. We already know how people respond to that. Odell Beckham.
Wide receivers are divas.
Odell Beckham Jr. does it. We know how this story plays out for every single position except for the golden goose here, the holy grail. And I don't think Ben gets called out enough for some of his actions.
Well, and if we do it in a broad scope of why we call out generally wide receivers, because the guy that says I'm open or I should have had this or look more targets this way, it's because it's perceived as a selfish act. Well, wouldn't the same thing be going on right now from Ben? I mean, you want to do everything team oriented as much as you possibly can. And receivers have always had that stereotype of being a me-first player. Well, this is kind of a me-first action on how he's handling things.
Dropped back 55 times last night. 312 yards. Completed 33 passes, which 55 times? I guess because they were playing from behind for so long, they felt that that was the way to catch up. But he threw for 312 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. It's amazing.
Yeah, and there was
one. And meanwhile, on the other side, Blake Bortles completed 8 freaking passes.
And won by 21 on the road.
For 95 yards. 8. He completed 8 passes. That is mind-boggling.
Yeah, there were some strange things in that game. You mentioned the 8 passes he completed. Like, I was looking at Le'Veon Bell. I thought, well, are they just ignoring him? Well, he had 15 rushes. That's okay, a little low. He caught the ball 10 times, but for 46 yards. So they just check down. They weren't going anywhere.
He was looking for Antonio Brown yesterday. I mean, Antonio Brown, 19 targets yesterday. 10 catches, 19 targets. That's who he was looking for. He was trying to get them back in the game with one play.
Yep.
Over and over and over again, he was trying to get them back. And I guess that's the downfall of a team that has been successful so long, is that you've done that so many times, right?
And it's worked.
Right, exactly. And so you feel like we're playing Jacksonville in our house. There's no way we're losing this game. Let me throw the ball to Antonio. Oh, he missed it. Let me throw it 40 yards down the field to Antonio again. Let me do it again. Le'Veon, we'll get you next time. And pretty soon, they scored again. Okay, now we're really down. Now we're trying to get something going here, and we just can't. Now we're trying to get all of these points back in the freaking fourth quarter. And Leonard Fournette, as you heard, as we came back, puts it away with a 90-yard touchdown run.
Mm-hmm.
I actually heard someone ask, well, shouldn't you have just fallen down? Really? Like, what was there a spectacular 21-point comeback on the way because he went into the end zone? Get out of here, man. Maybe it's just me, but I don't think what Ben did was anywhere near the level of what Antonio Brown did. That's from the text line here at 44-11-40. Okay, so are we measuring the level of distractions? Antonio Brown got frustrated because he wasn't getting targets last week. Okay, now, maybe Ben was being a smartass, and he over-targeted him this week, going at him 19 times. But, again, I guess if you drop back 55 times, you got to throw the ball to somebody. But I see it, a distraction is a distraction, right? In the conversation this week, the first thing Ben Roethlisberger is going to be asked about when he does his radio show is that one line.
Yeah.
That's what he's not going to be asked about the game. He's not going to be asked about the five interceptions. He's not going to be asked about Jacksonville's defense and whether they're improved, or he's not going to be asked about Le'Veon Bell or Antonio. He's going to be asked about the what did you mean? Do you think you can play?
Yeah.
And that's going to be the soundbite picked up by ESPN and NFL Live, and that's what Trey Wingo and the rest of these guys are going to dissect and talk about. And it's no different than what Antonio Brown did last week in terms of being a distraction.
Where I will say the one difference is, though, last week Pittsburgh won and was winning. So it's a little frustrating to see a player mad and animated when you're winning, as opposed to this week when Pittsburgh was bad, and Ben was a huge part of it. So you can understand a frustration distraction in a loss. It's a little harder to understand when you're winning, but that would be the differences, I would say, of those two.
It's 12:41, time to celebrate the one-year anniversary of the Golden One Center. Great events now through October 15th, including Kings Fan Fest, including the weekend coming up on Wednesday. Get details. I had one of those moments. What's the next concert you're going to? The Weeknd? Oh, yeah, who's here?
Yeah.
No, it's The Weeknd.
I know, but when? On Saturday or Sunday, and who are you seeing?
Get details at goldenonecenter.com/anniversary. Back with more of The Lowdown next. Good Lord, man, really?
That made me laugh. No? Cocaine.
Wow. See, now I'm just envisioning Jay Cutler, and that's wrong for so many reasons.
Why are you envisioning him?
Just, I don't know. I don't know. Miami, drugs, sour puss face, crappy quarterback. I don't know why that all plays into cocaine.
500, 2-2. Best division in football. Not really, but record-wise, everybody's 500 or above. First place, Jets.
So,
right? 3-2, 3-2, 3-2, and 2-2, if I remember right. Yeah. That'll hold up.
Yeah, right.
That'll hold up.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Further proof of how week to week this is.
How about Adam Vinatieri converted all four of his field goal attempts, including a 51-yarder in overtime to beat the San Francisco 49ers. Adam Vinatieri has had 24 game-winning field goals in the regular season in the final minute of the fourth quarter or overtime. 10 game winners in overtime, both the most in NFL history.
That's awesome. But I was so ready for the once-a-year, twice-a-year rant of no more tie. What year are we? We don't need tie. That game had all the earmarks of a tie.
Yeah, it did.
I'm like, ugh, why are we going to have a tie with the Colts and the 49ers? But Colts found a way. Niners continue to find ways to lose.
Yeah, at least they're competitive.
Yeah, I mean, every game they compete. They really do, but, I mean, you got to get a reward at some point.
Well, that comes during the draft, and is that like? And I guess I should have gone Ron Burgundy and said, well, that comes during the draft?
Right.
I'm going to pose that question to the San Francisco 49er fans, or fan. 44-1140-916-339-1140-1-800-920-1140. There are people out here. The Jets are getting ridiculed because of conversations that you and I had last week where we said, okay, it's great. You're winning a couple of games. Now you're 3-2. I think they've won three in a row. Okay, now what? You've probably 5 weeks into the season have already taken your ability to draft one of the top two quarterbacks. You've taken yourself out. You're not like Cleveland where, like, could Cleveland possibly draft another quarterback after taking DeShone Kizer in the
Absolutely.
Second round?
Absolutely. They benched him.
Dude.
They're doing it wrong.
What is it called again when you remove a team from the league? What is that called again?
Oh, Chris, that's in soccer, right?
Relegating.
Yeah. Relegation, yeah.
They're damn close. I mean, how can you – I mean, they
Who
keep
we put
making
– Alabama?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Maybe. Nick, bring old Nick Saban up.
Yeah.
They're at least for the 49ers, and again, that was a question. You're losing. You're competitive. I don't know what you expected going into the year. I know we thought they would be better than they were last year, and part of me still wonders if they are. I do believe that they have a terrible quarterback, and I don't think they have a good quarterback situation. But I think that was kind of always the point in this year, right? You're going to bring, you got Lynch locked up for six, you got Kyle Shanahan locked up for six, and you believe, at least I think you do, that if nothing else, you're going to make a strong push for Kirk Cousins,
mm-hmm.
or you'll have one of the first two picks in the draft.
Like. Yeah.
If you had to choose right now, do you go draft or do you go Kirk Cousins?
Cousins?
Yeah. Okay. Me too. Because yeah. I feel like I don't know who the best non-quarterback is in the in college football.
Mm-hmm.
He probably plays for Alabama.
Right.
But you need help in so many places. If you could buy your quarterback and then draft something else, or there is the proverbial trade.
Yeah.
Someone's desperate to get up. We know what a first overall or second overall draft pick costs a whole lot of first rounders. And I'm sure if you're Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and you're the San Francisco 49ers organization, you're looking at it like, yeah, we'll pay for Kirk Cousins. We'll turn that one top draft pick into four first rounders over the course of the next 2 years, which I think would be significantly more valuable than if they're able to get Kirk Cousins, of course, than a Sam Darnold or or Josh Rosen or whoever.
Right.
But again, you're watching them week after week like, oh, all right, what are we getting? The Colts, I actually expected a lot more from the Colts in that game. Did you know going in that it was Peyton Manning statue day?
Yeah, I'd seen something about it, yeah.
I had no idea.
It didn't get that much attention, but I'd seen something about it.
Well, it's still not getting attention for an entirely other reason that will
upstaged.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
I told him to upstage Peyton Manning. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I saw, hey, that's a pretty nice looking statue. I had no idea they were doing Peyton Manning Day out there. Let's see. We mentioned how can we give Frank Gore some love?
Mm-hmm.
Frank Gore has moved into seventh all time for most rushing yards in NFL history. The six players in front of him are all Hall of Famers. Frank Gore Locke for the Hall of Fame now.
I didn't think Locke before, but everything is tracking it. Yeah. It's longevity, production. I don't know that he has anything that stands out to me, but I guess what stands out is that he's been doing it this long, this effectively.
Is this a hot take to say he's more deserving of the Hall of Fame than Terrell Davis?
That's a pretty hot take.
Is it?
Yeah, okay. But I wondered about Davis was like a
couple years.
Lightning just came in and was great. Okay, but then it was not the long.
I mean, his
career.
His numbers are eye popping.
Yeah,
just for a really short period of time.
Yeah.
And when I first thought about it, I was like, well, Bo Jackson, what the hell? Put Bo in the Hall of Fame. But he was more visually stimulating than have these eye popping numbers because he never played a full season. But yeah, he moved into seventh. I was looking at the numbers last week as we're preparing for the Friday Five. He's gonna he could probably get, barring injury, and this guy doesn't get hurt, he could get to like fourth.
That would be incredible.
I mean, he's a,
especially in the present day too, and you think about where that'll put him, and when you're getting receivers or quarterbacks breaking numbers, you're like, yeah, but then the next guy and the next guy and the next guy will pass that. We're now in an age currently where the running back position is just dying. Mm-hmm. I mean carries, yards, all of it.
At the worst, he could be a top five, you know, fifth overall rusher in NFL history.
That's awesome.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
Text line here, 44-1140, you're assuming Washington is going to let Kirk Cousins walk. Yeah, no, I'm absolutely assuming that, because if they don't, they're going to have to pay him the most money a quarterback has ever made in a single year in history, and I don't think they're going to do that. And I'm talking by far, he'll bury Matt Stafford's contract, because it'll be the first ever quarterback to get a third franchise tag, and I think that tops out right now at like 35 or 36. No one sees Washington as willing able to do that. We've never seen it before, and I don't even think we've seen two in the history of the NFL. Drew Brees didn't even get two. I'm absolutely assuming that Washington is going to let him walk. 49er fan, I would take Lamar Jackson over Kirk Cousins. Really?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either. And I love Lamar Jackson, but I think for the 49ers, you don't want a young quarterback. Unless you don't have a choice in the matter, I don't think you want a young quarterback. I think Kirk Cousins is a very good quarterback, And if the 49ers can get him, I think they'll be in good shape for the foreseeable future. Remember, Kirk Cousins is in the RG3 Andrew Luck draft class.
Yeah.
Often forgotten that they were drafted RG3 and
same team, same
draft. That head scratcher, right, from Dan Snyder. Like, oh, really? That you drafted two quarterbacks in the same draft? Okay. Frank Gore, it seems like no one cares. He's not an exciting running back. He's just durable. That's it. You're right. Longevity.
But there is something to be said about that. At the sport, at the position.
If we marvel at Brett Favre for playing for all those games in a row.
For Gore.
Frank Gore deserves the exact same respect. Terrell Owens, has the numbers to be a lock in the Hall of Fame, but he's not. Good point. More political than anything else. True. How does the media like Gore? Oh, I think Frank Gore is very...
There's not any marks against him, put it that way.
Frank Gore is very respected. I wouldn't put him on the line of Charles Woodson, because I've never seen a response to a player retiring like Charles Woodson from the media, from fans, but just universally respected across the league. But Frank Gore is pretty freaking close to that. Mm-hmm. Like, you just don't hear bad things about him. So if it comes down to that, then yes, absolutely. First ballot, I don't know. Terrell Davis wasn't a first ballot. How do you deny what he's done in the league? It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Coming up, top of the 1 o'clock hour. In fact, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour period, we will have tickets to not only tickets to Aftershock, we'll have VIP tickets to the Aftershock Music Festival. Also, we'll get into the Chiefs win last night against the Texans. Another spectacular performance from Deshaun Watson, and our best and worst of the weekend. You share yours with us at 44-1140, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We're back with hour number two of the Lowdown next.